Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
We hear a lot about water baptism in the church, right? We have water baptisms here at Painesville Assembly. How many of you have attended one? If you've gone here for any length of time, you probably have, because we do have them often. So here at Painesville, what happens is one of our pastors will get in the tank at the back of our stage, or if we're at Stony Glen or a pond, you know, in the lake. So one of our pastors will get in the tank at the back of the stage with the person being baptized. The person being baptized will talk about how Jesus has changed his or her life and about how amazing God is. Once they have finished giving what we call their testimony, the pastor will ask the person a few questions about whether or not they believe in Jesus and if they acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior. Those words normally come out. Let's see, if they follow them, and then why they want to be baptized. So following that, the pastor will usually say, as he's dunking them, based on the profession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then as the person comes out of the water, the crowd usually cheers and is standing and is celebrating, right? So let's look at a baptism in the Bible. That's how we do it here. Let's look at probably the most famous baptism, I would say. So this is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Sorry, I'm in Mark 1, verse 1 through 7. It began just as God had said in the book written by Isaiah the prophet. I am sending my messenger to get the way ready for you. In the desert, someone is shouting, get the road ready for the Lord, make straight the path for him. So John the Baptist showed up in the desert and told everyone, turn back to God and be baptized. Then your sins will be forgiven. From all Judea and Jerusalem, crowds of people went to John. They told how sorry they were for their sins, and then he baptized him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair. He had a leather strap around his waist and ate grasshoppers and wild honey. John also told the people, someone more powerful is going to come, and I am not good enough even to stoop down and untie his sandals. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then the story continues on, but we're going to flip over to the Matthew 3, 13 through 17 version, because I liked it a little better. Same story, just continued in a different book. So Jesus left Galilee and went to the Jordan River to be baptized. But John kept objecting and said, I ought to be baptizing you. Why have you come to me? Jesus answered, for now this is how it should be, because we must all do that God wants us to do. Then John agreed. So Jesus was baptized, and as soon as he came out of the water, the sky opened, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down on him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven said, this is my own dear Son, and I am pleased with him. So water baptism is something that we've all been commanded to do. Even Jesus gets water baptized, which I think is pretty cool, that God would command us to do something, and even his Son would do that thing, because that's how much he means it. John the Baptist, which obviously he's named because of all of the baptisms that he did, right? John the Baptist? Yeah. Maybe? Okay. Just, you know, point that out. So John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River to fulfill a prophecy written. So people get baptized out of obedience all the time. Baptism is a physical and visual representation and declaration of our faith and our identity in Jesus Christ. So if we flip over to Matthew 28:19, this is one of my favorite verses, mainly because I still remember the song that I learned at kids camp, but I won't sing it to you tonight. Matthew 28:19. Go to all the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them. Jesus tells us to tell everyone about him so that they can become a believer, and then to baptize them. So at PAG, our pastors get into what we call a baptismal tank, or the lake, pond, or whatever large body of water that we're at. And that's because of the meaning of the word baptism. The Greek translation of baptism is to immerse. We believe that to be baptized means to be fully immersed underwater or in water. People must be saved or a believer in Jesus Christ before they are water baptized. Baptism is an experience after salvation to confirm and strengthen your commitment to live a godly life. It's a declaration of our faith. It's a symbol of our new life in Christ. If there is no faith, then there is no reason to be baptized. It's an outward sign and a testimony of our inward change, which is our belief in Jesus. So we encourage people to give their testimonies and to tell of their faith and their love for Jesus, because this is the whole reason for the act of being baptized. To tell everyone around us that we are changed. Our old identity is dead and we have a new identity. Jesus came into our lives and he cleansed us and he washed our filth and our dirt and he made us new, and that old junk is gone. That is what we're declaring to people when we're baptized. So our pastors at PAG, they immerse people in water, and then they say something along the lines, like I said early, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they do this because of Matthew 28:19. Let's read the rest of that. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. Sorry, that was 19 and 20. So it is by no other name that we are saved. By baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are declaring that we are children of God, that there's no one, no other name higher than that, and that no other name can change us like his name can. So there's no other name with the power and the position that his name has. Not even our own names can change our identity as Christ can. And then I want to flip over to Romans 6:1-5. Sorry, I'm going fast if you're keeping up in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. I got it on the screen. So water baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And this is what Romans 6 says. What should we say? Should we keep on sinning so that God's wonderful kindness will show up even better? No, we should not. If we were dead to sin, how can we go on sinning? Don't you know that all who share in Jesus Christ by being baptized also share in his death? When we were baptized, we died and we were buried with Christ. We were baptized so that we would have a new life as Christ was raised to the life by the glory of the God the Father. If we shared in Jesus' death by being baptized, we'll be raised to life with him. So all this verse is basically saying is if we ask for forgiveness of our sins and we are changed forever, we die to our old ways, our identity is no longer with our past, it is no longer with our sinful nature or our sinful ways, we are buried and submerged underwater as if a symbol of being buried with Jesus. We are choosing to stop identifying with our previous self as we emerge out of the water. It symbolizes that Jesus' resurrection and our new life in him. Our identity is new. It has been changed, and we are now identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. See, I got another video for you guys. So if you want to watch that for a minute.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
I love that at the end he says, praise the Lord. But he says it Spanish and I say it not. So, Nacho Libre is awesome. How many of you guys love this movie? I was really hoping the Lapish girls would be here because every movie night they're like, let's watch Nacho Libre. Yeah. Nacho Libre is awesome. Nacho Libre. Nacho Libre. The movie we just watched. That's okay. So, sometimes we are like Nacho. How would you like to have your first name be Nacho? That's my favorite part. So sometimes we're like Nacho, and we get a little bit consumed with our checklist and checking things off and being like, okay, to be a good Christian, I need to read my Bible today. I need to say the sinner's prayer. I need to get baptized, probably filled with the Holy Spirit. I should probably at some point pray for my food today. Yeah, maybe twice. Okay, so just check off your Christianese list, right? That's what I call it. So we feel like we have to do that to be good Christians, and definitely not in the order that I just said because that was kind of weird. A weird order, but that's okay. Thanks. So sometimes we forget why it is that we do the things we do. We get into our busy daily lives and we're going, I read my Bible today. Check. I prayed for my food, I think at breakfast. I really can't remember what I had for breakfast because I was late for school. We'll say check anyways. So we forget why we're doing those things and they just become routine and habit. And we're like, oh, there's a baptism service this Sunday. I should probably go to it because my friend's getting baptized and it'll be fun, right? Check. Whoa, baptism service and you're just checking it off. So, we know that baptism is something that we should do because it symbolizes an identity change, but have we actually changed? You know, for some of us, we don't know what baptism, or we haven't been baptized yet, and we talked about that before Nacho Libre, but now that we're after baptism, what does that look like? Because I got baptized as a little kid. If you guys are like me, I got baptized when I was 8, so I've had a lot of life since I was 8. What's my life supposed to look like? What happens after water baptism? The most important thing is that your life has changed. You know, I go back and I think at 8 years old, did I really understand what I was saying when I got baptized? And I do, but I didn't realize how heavy of a life decision that was. And it's a good one, and I'm glad that I did it because from that point on, I asked Jesus to become Lord of my life, and I got baptized. I followed what the Bible said. But from there, I was telling people, everyone around me, everyone at a church. I went to a church of a couple thousand then, and so I was in front of a lot of people, and I was saying, my life is changed from here on out. I am not looking back. I'm not going to identify with myself, my sinful little 8-year-old self. Anymore, right? From here on out, I am going to be Christ. I'm going to be a child of Him. I'm under His name. I'm under the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen!
There we go. That's all I got for you guys. That's as hard as I can push it. I know Donnie gets up in here. He's like, blah, Jesus! Okay, just work with me. Okay, I need some feedback. All right, so that's my little 8-year-old self made a decision for the rest of my life that I was no longer going to identify myself with what was before, but now I am changed, and from here on out, I'm walking in Jesus Christ as my Lord, and that's it. I'm done with the past. So, after being water baptized, people should be able to see that there's a definite change from who we once were to who we are now after identifying ourselves with Christ. Water baptism is a mark in our minds at the moment that we proclaim to everyone that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Okay, I'm going to repeat that because it was kind of a lot, and there's a couple big words in there as far as I'm concerned. So, baptism is a mark. We put a pin in it, right? Mentally, a pin in it. That was a moment that we decided from here on out, we will forever be changed in our mind. This is us declaring Jesus is our Lord. So from there on out, let's see. I'm going to repeat it again. Water baptism is a mark in our minds of the moment that we proclaim to everyone that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. So we no longer identify ourselves with sin, death, darkness, evil ways, or simply our old nature. Okay? So those things that we deal with, the gossip, the depression, our cutting, all of our different things that drag us down, the baggage that we carry around, we're no longer identifying ourselves with that. That's not who we are anymore. From this point forward, we are full of God's light, His hope, His love, and His joy. And He has filled us with a new way of living and a new way of believing, of being and believing. Okay, so from here on out, we've decided I'm not going to be this anymore, this yuck. For some reason, my left hand is my yuck, okay? I'm not going to be my yuck anymore. I'm going to look forward to the light and the hope and the joy that God gives to me. So that is what water baptism is marking for us. Okay, I need two people to help me out. Caleb and Brittany. Okay, can you hold this for me? And can you hold this for me? And face the audience for me. So they can see, you can step up so they can see you. Okay, so I have given you two each a picture, right? One of Obadiah, one of Samson. Caleb, are you holding Obadiah?
I guess.
You guess? Are you sure about that?
Not really.
Okay. Are you holding Samson?
Was I supposed to look at it?
Oh, yeah, you can look at your picture. Look at your picture. Okay, are you holding Samson?
I believe so.
You think so? You think he's in your arms? You think my baby that's down at the nursery right now is in your arms?
No.
No. Okay, Obadiah is in Michigan at the moment with his grandparents. Are you sure that you're holding him?
No.
No. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. They think they're holding my kids. My kid is 40 pounds. What are they thinking? This one, I don't know. He's like 20-something. He's too big. So, you guys are awesome. Yeah, we're holding your kids. No, you are just holding a picture of Samson, and you are holding a picture of Obadiah, right? Right, okay. So, for me to have taken these pictures, Samson and Obadiah had to exist before the picture was taken, right? Right? I mean, this was while I was pregnant, so Samson didn't exist before this picture, but I still took it of Obadiah. But it doesn't matter, right? Because he's not in the picture. It's Obadiah in the picture. Never mind. That's a side point, I guess, since I just confused everyone. You know when people are looking at you and they're like, not sure. So, they both had to exist before the picture was taken. So, likewise, salvation, which is our change in our life, it's the moment that we accept Jesus, it's the moment that we decide that we want to change, right? God changes us at the moment that we ask Him to, which we've named salvation. So, likewise, salvation needs to exist before baptism. Okay, so water baptism is merely a picture of the salvation that has already taken place. Connect the dots? Okay, thank you. And take your pictures. Thank you. Wonderful helpers. Okay, so once we have been baptized, we've talked about this a few times. I'm going to keep repeating it until you get it, guys. Once we've been baptized, our lives should reflect this change. There's a change that takes place, and we want our lives to reflect it. Sometimes it's easy to be baptized. For some of you, you're like, it wasn't easy. I had to get up in front of a lot of people and talk into a microphone. But realistically, sometimes it's easy. Because overall, for those people that you're like me that grew up in the church, yeah, the actual part of talking in the microphone was hard. But sometimes it's what the crowd's doing, and so it's expected of us. And sometimes the expectations of others make us lose the depth and the significance of the things that are happening in the church, like baptism. Baptism is a beautiful symbol of Jesus' life and death on the cross and the parallel of us then dying to our sinful ways and rising in the new way of living life. But we can't forget that once we're baptized, we are to beam to everyone around us of the change in our life. The same excitement and joy that we had at baptism is supposed to stay in us and flow out of us. Okay, so I asked four girls to help me with something. Can you four come up here? Oh, y'all can be on one side. That's fine. That's fine. Okay, so they helped me by spreading, beaming Jesus' light to all of you. Can you show them your hands, please?
It's all over, though.
It's on the floor.
Wait, the floor.
Here.
Okay, well, if you look at their hands, they're still, can you guys see they're kind of shiny? And they got some glitter here and there? Okay, everyone, I want you to look at your neighbors and help them find the glitter on themselves. You wiped all of yours off. Look around, see if you can find some glitter. It came off. Alex has like a ton on her because she totally got bombed by them. Okay, raise your hand if you've got glitter on you somewhere. Anywhere, at least one little shiny glimmer of glitter. It's my gift from me to you tonight, so you can remember how much I love you. Okay, so the floor is well loved. Yeah, if you look around the church. Thank you, ladies. You guys can sit down. Okay, so my point in doing this wasn't to see how much glitter we could get all over, even though that's what actually happened, but was to see, I mean all over the floor, was to see how many people's lives these four could touch, literally. So all of you that have glitter, it's somewhere on your body. These four girls touched your lives. And that's what we are supposed to be for Jesus. We are supposed to be this light that shines, this bright beam of glittery gold. No, just kidding. But we are. We are supposed to be that, but God doesn't give us physical glitter. It's like pixie dust. We can just sprinkle on people, right? No. He gives us this light and this joy. People can walk up to you when you are a believer and they can go, there is something different about you. I see something in you that's different. And you're like, I don't know. I did my hair the same today and I didn't put on makeup. But there's something different about that. There is. You can tell people when you walk around, like next time you go to the grocery store, walk around and say, hey, well, I'm a people watcher, so you don't want to actually say this to people either. You say it to yourself or the person sitting next to you very quietly. But you can sit there and you can watch people and you can see whether they have the joy of the Lord in their face or not. And so that's what I wanted to point out with these girls and their glitter is how much their joy, glitter is going to be our joy tonight, their joy can touch other people. And Asia, totally quiet person, right? She doesn't. Did you all know her name was Asia? Oh, okay. Just making sure. This is Asia, okay? She doesn't like being in the spotlight like this right now. She'll probably choke me afterwards. But can I see your hands? She has no glitter left on her because, well, one, she clapped during worship. But two, because she shared the joy with everybody else. So her glitter could have gotten on Emily, who then got on other people in the worship team, and then as they came back down, Asia's glitter on the other four in the worship team got on you guys. Okay? That's the point that I want to make, is that the joy of the Lord and the change that's in your life, your new identity, should be shown brightly to other people. And then in that turn, those people are going to see your change, and they're going to want to spread it too. They're going to want Jesus from you, and then they're going to spread it to their friends. And somehow, I put glitter on four girls, but every single one of you in this room has glitter on them. And I'm pretty sure if we went to the Royal Rangers and girls ministries, they would all have glitter on them too. Because I did it while people were walking in. So when you go home and your parents are like, where'd this glitter come from that's on my shirt? You can be like, we spread Jesus' love to you. And when you see it in your laundry for the next 3 weeks, and be like, Lauren, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves everybody. Every time you guys see glitter now, you're going to be like, Jesus loves that person. So just like the way that the glitter spread, we're to spread God's love to everyone we meet. The joy and excitement that we have in our lives due to our identity in Jesus should be contagious, just like glitter and germs. Contagious. So the point of being baptized isn't so that we can declare our life change once, but so we can continually be following God's command to share the love with Jesus with all that we met. So I'm going to place a challenge for you guys, and I don't think I wrote it up there. I'm going to place a challenge on you guys, and then we're going to go into a time of huddles. So I want to challenge you to just search yourself this week. Spend some time alone in prayer and in your devos, which I would encourage you to do every week anyways, every day. But I want you to spend special time this week just thinking about what's going on in your life. So for those of you that haven't been baptized yet, we already talked about there's an opportunity to be baptized this Sunday. If that's something that you're interested in, talk to Pastor Donnie and I about it tonight, and let's get you signed up and let's get you an application, because we would love to get you baptized Sunday. If you're not sure, if you're not ready, if you've got questions, come to us, talk to us. There'll be another baptism. This is not the last one, but I'd love to get you baptized Sunday. So if you have been baptized, I want you to check yourself. By this, I mean, look at your life and whether your life is causing others to want to change their life as well. Repeat. So, I want you to look at your life, and I want you to look at whether or not you're causing other people to want to change their lives as well. So, whose name are you really identifying with? Are you identifying with Jesus Christ, and are you showing that love to everyone? Or are you identifying yourself with something else? So if you guys want to go ahead, bow your heads, let's pray, and then we're going to go into our huddle groups.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.